We're going through the biggest revolution in communication in over 500 years. And many of us don't realize it's happening. Not since the printing press being invented over in the 1400s has there been such a change in how we communicate. Yet many of us don't realize it. The rules that we've taken for granted and how we interact with each other are being ripped up and rewritten. And so many of us aren't aware that it's going on. This evening, we're thinking about social media. We're thinking about those websites and applications which enable us, its users, to upload comments and pictures and videos. We're thinking about those sites and apps which enable users to interact with each other in what's called social networking. We're thinking about YouTube. We're thinking about Facebook. We're thinking about Twitch. We're thinking about Instagram, WhatsApp, and Snapchat. And the reason we're thinking about social media this evening is because it's triggered the biggest revolution in how we communicate in over 500 years. We heard some of the statistics earlier, didn't we? 67% of the entire UK population is now using social media. 91% between 16 and 24 years old. Every day, the average UK-based user spends 1 hour and 50 minutes scrolling through their social media updates. And that's on top of the 3 hours, 43 minutes, astonishing, isn't it, that the average person in the UK watches video either on TV or online. Each internet user now has 7 social media accounts on average, and 52% of people using websites like Facebook, through their use of it, are persuaded to buy things. And that, of course, is not to mention the statistics and the stories connecting the rise in social media use with things like loneliness, isolation, and anxiety. Now, when we hear statistics and stories and information like that, I reckon that there's a temptation for us to respond in one of two ways. The first way we might respond is to think that... The first way that we might respond to social media is to think, well, it doesn't really affect me. Sure, we might hear the stats and the stories of social media affecting the world out there, but it doesn't affect the world in here. For example, there might be some of us here who don't even have social media accounts. And so we think, well, because I'm in the minority of people that don't use social media, well, it doesn't have a big impact on me. But if those statistics tell us anything, it's that social media is having an impact on the whole way our culture communicates. It's having an impact on the way our whole families communicate. It's having an impact on the way our whole communities communicate. The way our workplaces communicate. The way our friends, our MPs, even those brands and companies that we like, it's affecting the way that they communicate with us. And so I reckon that even if this evening you are in the minority of people that don't have a social media account, it could be quite foolish to think that social media has no impact on you. But there's another way we might respond. And that's this. As we hear the stories and the statistics, as we hear about that research associating the increase in social media use with things like anxiety and isolation and loneliness, as we look around us on the bus or the train, as we look around us at the dinner table, maybe even as we look around us in a service during church and we see people browsing through their phones, some of us might think social media is just all bad. There's nothing in it that can be good. Some of us, we might not say it like this, might deep down think it's evil. But life isn't as simple as that, is it? Because, of course, Whilst we might often get distracted by our family and friendship WhatsApp groups, those same groups enable loved ones many thousands of miles apart to communicate clearly and quickly. All that content on YouTube that might tempt you to stay up into the early hours of the morning watching funny videos of cats drinking out of a toilet bowl. Well, all that content can help someone like me who 2 months ago didn't know how to bleed a radiator. And although companies now are able to market and target us more powerfully than ever before through social media advertising, well, those same channels enable charities and other good organizations get their good causes out. And that's before we even mention the opportunities for communicating the gospel. So how should we respond? In a world where social media is becoming an increasingly important part of our lives and an increasingly important part of the people that we care about, how as Christians are we to respond? Well, I think our first response should be this. Social media is not the problem. Our hearts are. The first thing we need to recognize when we think about social media is that social media doesn't inherently have any problems with it. It's our hearts where the real problem lies. And I want to demonstrate that to you from the passage we had read to you. So please do open the Bibles that are in front of you. Page 1010, having a look at Mark chapter 7. Mark tells us just before the verses we read that at this point in Jesus' ministry, well, Jesus has got a pretty big name for himself. People are coming from all over the region to hear his teaching and his healing. And one of the groups of people that have heard about Jesus is a group of Jewish people called Pharisees. You may have heard about them. These group of Jewish people, these Pharisees, prided themselves on obeying God's Old Testament law. In fact, they got such a kick out of obeying God's Old Testament law, they made up their own religious traditions on top, just for the thrill of it. And so when they hear about Jesus and they go and hear his teaching, what is the first thing they say to him? Well, the Pharisees start criticizing him. Why don't your disciples obey all of our traditions and laws? But Jesus sees right to their heart. He gets exactly what's going on. Jesus recognizes that the key problem with the Pharisees was that they thought that their obedience to the law made them clean before God. And Jesus has none of it. Have a look what Jesus says in verse 14. Calling the crowd to him, he says, "Listen to me, everyone, and understand this. Nothing outside a person can defile them by going into them. Rather, it is what comes out of a person that defiles them." And then leaving the crowd, he entered a house and his disciples asked him about this parable. He's, "Are you so dull?" Jesus says. "Don't you see that nothing that enters a person from the outside can defile them? For it doesn't go into their heart, but into their stomach, then out of the body." Do you see what Jesus is saying here? Jesus is saying, it's nothing outside of us that makes us unclean before God. It's not things like Instagram or Facebook or Snapchat that wreck our relationship with him. No, the problem lies inside us. The problem lies inside our hearts. And so when we come this evening to think about social media, the first thing we need to recognize is that it's not a question of whether is this or that social media good or bad. Now the first question we need to ask is what effect does this or that social media platform have on my heart? What effect does this or that social media platform have on my heart? Because you see, this is a question which, in fact, doesn't even just stop with ourselves. Because there'll be some of us here this evening who have a responsibility for others too. Parents, for example. When you might be thinking whether to allow your child to have a smartphone, the question that you need to first ask yourself is not whether their friends have them. The question is not even, will them having a smartphone make them more or less safe? The question we need to ask ourselves is, will allowing my child to have a smartphone have a negative impact on their heart? And even when we may have reached the decision at some point in our raising of our children, allowing them to have a smartphone, the work doesn't end there. No, it's important as parents that we regularly sit down with our children and find out how they're using them. To dig deeper and try and discern what's the effect of my child's use of social media on their growing heart. And I would suggest that it's pretty hard to have that conversation if you don't have any visibility on how they're using it. Social media is not the problem. Our hearts are. But here's the second thing that we should think about. If our hearts are the problem, we should watch them as we use social media. If our hearts are the problem, we need to watch them as we use social media. Because social media does kind of prey upon some of the desires in our heart. It tempts us. It exploits them. It challenges us. And so for the final few minutes, I just want to pick up on two ways that social media can prey upon our hearts. It's worth saying that at this point in the talk, I could have gone in a million different places. There are so many different ways that social media pumps messages into our hearts. So I could have talked about the distraction of just escaping this world. I could have talked about the temptation to say things to other people which we would never say to their face. I could have talked about the temptation to just be lazy. The temptation just not to think. I could have talked about the vulnerability of sexually explicit images, pornography. 70% of the internet is apparently pornography. Online gambling adverts. So many different places we could go, and maybe we'll have time to pick up on them in some of our discussions on the panel. But I want to start by just drawing out one very powerful but often very subtle way that social media preys upon our heart. And that's this. Social media tempts us to recreate our world. When you set up a social media account, you get a blank sheet of paper. When you set up a social media account, whether it's a Facebook page, an Instagram profile, or a LinkedIn account, you get total control over the information that other people learn about you. As it were, we get to have a go at playing God. And so, of course, because we can totally control the information that we let others see about us, we leave out all the boring, everyday, mundane bits of life. We leave out the bad hair day. We leave out the boring weekday dinner. We leave out that disappointing job offer. We leave out the argument with friends. We leave out the disappointing exam results. We leave out the sleepless nights. And what do we replace it with? A highlights reel of the top bits of our life for the world to see. We focus on the new haircut, the new job, the new shoes. We focus on the family pictures from the holiday. We focus on that great party that we were at. We focus on that wonderful family reunion. Social media tempts us into thinking that we can play God. But do you want to know what the problem with that is? We're not God. We're not God. We don't have the wisdom, the ability, the insight, the foresight to be able to create our world. Ever since Adam and Eve tried playing God in the Garden of Eden, humanity's attempt to recreate our world has ended in two things: pain and broken stuff. Our attempt to play God in the world has just ended with pain and broken stuff. And let me tell you about one girl who experienced that firsthand. This is the story of Harriet Gladwell. Harriet Gladwell, who first opened up her social media presence in 2011. This is what she says. "I first signed up to this social media platform in 2011, after I was left housebound due to bad health. I was feeling low in myself, both physically and mentally, and I needed distraction. I decided to join the site, which at the time was predominantly there for posting and reposting beautiful photos, to give myself something to do besides watching TV and studying. Online, I was so different. I was someone who was confident. I was someone who received attention. I was someone who others were actually curious about. In real life, I was at home, on my own, unwell and isolated. But this social media platform turned me into someone, though, who was still insecure in real life, appeared very confident online. I look back and I wonder why I spent so much time trying to be this person I wasn't at all. To all these people I didn't even know. I realize how self-obsessed it all seems now, but the only reason I can really think of is self-validation and the need to escape a life I felt miserable in and a body that made me feel insecure. Although Harriet tried to find comfort in recreating her world online, like millions of other people, she found out it was a fake. And in fact, more than that, it actually made her feel worse in the long run. But this is why the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is such good news. This is why the gospel is such good news. Listen to these words from the apostle Paul. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 17. "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into his image with ever increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit." Do you see what Paul's saying here? He's saying, if you really want to recreate your world, if you really want to experience transformation in your life, you don't need to go to Instagram or Twitch or Facebook. No, you need to look to the Lord Jesus Christ, because when you do, God shows you an image more beautiful than you would ever find on Instagram. He shows you an image of himself. And when we look upon that image, if our eyes are captivated by it, our hearts are warmed to it, and we fix our eyes on him, he gives us his Spirit. And step by step, He transforms us into that very image. Social media is not the problem. Our hearts are. But in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, we find the recreation that we're all looking for. Recreating our world, that's the first message that social media targets us with. But there's another one. I don't know if you spotted it in that quote from Harriet that I read out. The second message that I want to pick up on is that social media tempts us to seek approval of others. If you think about the social media accounts that you know, that's how social media is designed, right? Think about it. Just think about any social media platform you can think of. And a foundational feature of that social media account is for people to respond with comments and likes and views on the thing that you've just posted. And so, I don't know if you've realized this, but if you post something on social media, and a few people quite quickly respond to it with a comment, maybe someone shares it, another few people view it, the algorithms that work in the background on those platforms will then show that content to more people, which will then trigger more views, more likes and positive comments, and the cycle will just keep on going until what started as just a funny video shared between friends has gone viral for all the world to see. Except most of the time, it doesn't. And that's the problem. Social media trains our heart to yearn for the approval of others. But when the comments aren't quite as positive as we want, when the views aren't as high, the shares aren't as many, well, that only leads to disappointment. And so we vow we're going to do better next time. But the harder we try, the more disappointment hits. But again, this is where the gospel is such good news. I want to finish by asking you a question. If I asked you to put your social media account up on the screen behind me, what do you think we would see? What of your real life would be on there and what wouldn't? If we had a few minutes and we had a good route around, what might we detect about your heart? Because if mine was up there, do you know what you would see? You might not see it straight away, but if you spent more than 30 seconds, you would see it sure enough. If my social media, one of my accounts was up there, you would see someone longing for attention. You would see someone longing for a laugh. You would see someone longing to be loved. And this is where the gospel is such good news. Because whilst so often on social media, I don't give God even one thought. Whilst on social media, I am more interested thinking about what attention I'm going to receive than what God is. Whilst on social media, I so often say things to other people that I would never say to their face. God loves me so much that in spite of that, he sent his son to experience all the distraction, all the self-obsession, all the criticism that we see on our social medias. And he took it upon himself. God took the punishment for my sin. The sin which you would just see from my WhatsApp chat history. And he took it on himself. And because God took my punishment, do you want to know what I get? Because God took my punishment, I get all his credit. So when God, in his grace, looks at my social media history, he, as it were, sees Jesus's. And he looks at my Instagram feed, and he looks at my Facebook wall, and he says, James, you are my son, with whom I am well pleased. And if you're trusting in the Lord Jesus tonight, he says that of yours too. Social media is not the problem. Our hearts are. And it's only in the gospel that we can find the approval that we're looking for.